I'm excited I get to be here with you today on week number 3 of this series. I've been excited. I was looking forward to this series for a long time. I'm glad that it's here. As I look at my own life, I know I have failed in so many ways. I failed as a son to my parents. I have failed as a husband. I have failed as a father. I have failed as a friend. You know me enough to know I have failed as a pastor. I hate all of those things about myself. And the truth is, I'm reminded of my failures, honestly, every time that I open up my social media on my phone and I scroll, somehow all I see is, oh, Harley, you're a failure. And I hate that. I can clearly see in life, I don't measure up. And then as I use my social media on my phone, the algorithms, they make sure of the things I'm already looking at and pausing at, even the slightest pause, it picks that up, and then it searches the world over, and it finds more of that, and it puts more of that into my feed, into my eyesight, into my mind. And so my screen is filled with what it selects and chooses from around the world, but it's all based upon what it already knows about me. The algorithm's goal is simply to get me addicted to my screen so that it can feed me exactly what I'm craving. And the reason they're doing it is because the longer I stay on that platform, engaged on that platform, the more money they make. And so, of course, they want me addicted to my screen on that platform, staying on that platform. And so the algorithm takes me to extreme places, and they get more and more and more extreme because the algorithm knows it has to ramp it up to keep my attention, to take me to my limits and beyond. In fact, it could be said that the algorithm knows me better than I know myself. It'll pick up on the slightest hesitation. I almost feel like that the algorithm can see where my eyes are looking on the screen. I don't know that it can, but that's what it seems like because it picks up the slightest hesitation, the slightest pause. Why? Because it is designed to trap me and hold me there. And while it has me there, it is molding me and it is making me. And I'm asking for it. I'm, in fact, begging for that to happen. Because you know what happens for me in my life, probably very similar for you, that any amount of dead time that I have, any amount of boredom that I have, I pick up my phone and I hit some kind of social media. Any amount of discomfort in my life, and I go here. Any amount of quiet in my life, I go here. I'm picking up my screen, and in doing so, I'm asking it to shape me and to guide me and to mold my thoughts. And afterwards, after I realize what I've done, because 1 minute turns into 1 hour really fast. And afterwards, I feel like scrap. I feel like trash, because I know I have wasted a portion of my life, which means I've wasted this slice of life that I can never get back. And what do I have to show for it? Only guilty feelings. Do you relate at all? Afterwards, I feel like waste, and I beat myself up over all of that. So what about you? After you've been on social media for a while, do you send any messages to yourself like, well, just quit, just give up? You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to really change. But here's what I want you to know. And every Sunday, we really, truly want you to know this. We want it to sink in and we want it to absorb. It is not too late for us. It's not too late for me, and it's not too late for you. And so I really hope that you will catch up on this series where we are. We're in week number 3 right now. I hope you will catch both week 1 and week 2. I hope you will, because what we're talking about literally will change your life if you actually do something with what we're teaching you in this series. We know something about Cole. Not Cole, the co-pastor, but Cole, the stuff you dig out of the ground and you can burn for fuel, that kind of coal. We know something about Cole that given enough heat and pressure and time, Cole can turn into a diamond. We know this. We also know this about steel. When you apply heat and you apply pressure to steel, you can turn a bar of steel into a blade. And we also know this about your life and fruit. Given enough heat and pressure on your life will bear fruit. You see, God's Spirit uses His Word to apply heat spiritually and pressure, divine pressure, to your life. And when He does, He is slowly transforming you. You see, the heat and the pressure that He applies to our lives makes us stronger. And God uses this in a lifelong process to change each one of us and to transform us if we have submitted our lives to His care and control. And God knows just the right amount of heat to apply to our lives, at the optimal amount of time to apply that heat. And He knows that that amount of heat and that amount of time is going to give your life strength. After all, He knows us much better than we know ourselves. He even knows us better than the algorithm knows us. We're going to jump into Scripture this morning. One of my favorite passages, John chapter 15, verse 5. This is our springboard where we're going to spend most of the morning in John chapter 15. And these are the words of Jesus. So if you ever wonder how important is this, what Jesus is saying in these words, then here's how you can gauge that. Jesus says these words just hours before He is arrested, tried, and then crucified. Just hours before this happens, He stops as He's walking through the vineyard on the way to the garden where He's going to pray, but where He's arrested. He stops and He has this conversation with His followers. So it's almost as if He's saying, this is the last thing I'm telling you, this side of the crucifixion. Let it sink in. It is of utmost importance. So let's see what He says to us. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. See, He's walking through a vineyard and He pauses and uses that as His example. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I with them will produce much fruit, for apart from Me, you can do nothing. A very famous passage. I doubt this is the first time you've heard this passage. But here's what He's saying. Remain. Remain. So we have to ask ourselves, what exactly does that mean? What is He talking about? And here is what Jesus has in mind, because He kind of clarifies it for us, what He's talking about when He says remain. Here's what He means. Verse 7, He says, but if you remain in Me and My words remain in you. So to remain, He's saying, listen, I need you to stay close. I need you to chase after something. I need you to pursue something. And this is linked directly to His words. He says, I want them, and He's putting you in charge of this, to remain in you. His words in you. His word's in you, not in one ear and out the other. Not just a casual, I'm going to sit under the teaching of the word and then go about my week the next week. And I don't really have, I did that. I checked that off the list. I'm done with that. I went to church. No. His words remaining in you, placed purposefully, on purpose, deep in your heart. And at the same time, that also means deep in your mind. And so to remain in his words remaining in you, that means you're going to have to stay close. You're going to have to chase after and pursue his words. Not just any words, his words in you. And not just any place, his words in you. More than anything else. His words in you more than any screen time, more than any focused screen time you have. Yeah, yeah. His words more in you. Let's go back to verse 5. If we do this, something's going to happen. Here's what he says. Yes, so let's recap. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them. So how does he remain in you? His words, right? We just read that in verse 7. And I in them will produce much fruit. That is going to happen. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So he says, you are going to, you are designed to produce fruit. If you have submitted your life to his care and control, you are most definitely always, not an if, you will produce fruit. And here are some examples. Paul gives us a great list of examples. Let's look at that. It's in his letter to the Galatians. He says, but in verse 22 of chapter 5, the Holy Spirit produces. So let's pause there for a moment. The Holy Spirit produces. If you write in your Bible, I would go home and underline that several times. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. So it is his fruit, not you. This is not Harley, if he works hard enough, will produce this fruit in his life. No, it will never happen that way. This is his spirit, and only he can produce this in your life. But today we're talking about how it happens. So here is what we've learned so far by looking at what Jesus said, and now Paul is giving us this list of fruit. We're going to kind of combine these two as we go. So if you need more fruit, his fruit in your life, it's going to come from him. And here's the first bit of fruit. This is the kind of fruit in our lives that he produces. The first one, he says, love. Love. I don't know about you, but I know I need more of his love in my life. You hang around me for one whole week, day and night, and you are going to see, oh yeah, Harley's right. He needs a lot more love. He showed us. So there's only one way to get more of his love, which is his fruit, into my life. I need more. I've got to get more of his words in me. More of his words in me. If I need it more, I got to go get more of his words in me. So he gives us the next one. So the first one's love. Then he says joy. That's fruit. Do you need more joy in your life? Okay, you need more? Then get his words in you more. He says peace. Most of us need peace. Most of us, we are filled with anxiety. We are filled with the opposite of peace. Need more peace? It's not going to come any other way. His peace, then from him. And so we need more. We got to get more of his words in our life. Patience. Need more? I bet you do. I know I do. How do I get it? If I need more, I got to get more of his word. It's not that I go and take his patience and put it in my life. That's not how it works. He said, his word has to remain in you. I need more of his words in me. And he's going to produce that fruit. So the next one, kindness. Again, hang out with me for 24 hours. You're going to say, yeah, you're right, Harley. You do. You need more kindness. More of his words in me. It's the only way it's going to come. Goodness. More of his words in me. You need more goodness? That's how you're going to get it. More of his words in you. Faithfulness. You need that? More of his words in you. Gentleness. I bet we, many of us need that. More of his words in me. Self-control. Okay, there we go. I know we all need this. One way. More of his words in me. And what happens? See, something happens. It's not just checking a box. Oh, check a box. I got some of his words in me. Yeah, yeah. No, no. There's something taking place when we take his words and we put it in us. Here's what's happening. The heat and the pressure from God's word begins to make us, our hearts, our minds, our lives, soft and workable and responsive to God. That's what God's Spirit is doing with his words being placed in your life. It's making your heart soft and workable and responsive to God. And it begins, as it's in there, as his word is in there, God's Spirit uses that to begin removing impurities in our lives. And that process is refining us. Let's jump back to John 15 again. Here we go. John 15, now we're in verse 6. We covered verse 5. Then we went to Galatians to talk about what the fruit, the various fruits. Now we're back in verse 6 of 15. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. If this verse causes you some questions, as it should for many of us, and most of us perhaps, it causes us to ask certain questions. We're going to be talking a lot about this all through our series in September and October as we work our way through, verse by verse, the letter of written by James. But listen to this again. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. There is a fire, a divine spiritual fire that consumes. But there's also a fire that refines, and the choice is ours. Let that sink in. With our lives, there is a fire that comes from God that consumes and destroys. But there's also a fire that refines, which means it also transforms. The choice is ours. You see, transformation is not a quick process. I hope you've understood the Spirit by now, because I've sat here this morning and already admitted to you of all the fruits of the Spirit, I need more of all of them. I am in this lifelong process of God producing more of that in my life, more and more and more. It's a lifelong process. It's transformation. It is not quick. But with his words in us, then his Spirit begins to turn up the heat in our lives and apply the pressure heat over to several people already this morning, and you are feeling in life heat over some things and pressure. But God wants to take his word and put it into your life as the medicine, the cure, the healing agent in our lives. And he wants to use that by turning up the heat with his word and the pressure with his word. And it's going to shape you, and it's going to shape me. And this happens over and over and over. It's not a one-time thing. It's a process, slow, transformation. And over time, our lives begin to reflect the shape and the direction that God desires for our individual lives. Tim Keller is a pastor. He was a church planter in New York City, Manhattan, and he died a few years ago. But he said this. I want you to hear this. Tim Keller said, "Only if your God can outrage you and make you struggle will you know that you worship the real God and not a figment of your imagination." That heat and pressure being turned up in your life through God's word is that. You see, God doesn't take your life and just begin pounding away at you and pounding away at me in uncontrolled anger. That's what we do. That's not what God does. Instead, God very patiently and deliberately shapes us with measured force based upon the final shape that He wants to create in your life. And a significant part of that force that God uses is God's word in us. Verse 7 now. We already read it. Let's read it again. "But if you remain in me," Jesus says, "and my words remain in you." The power of His words inside of our lives. See, what's happening is it's going in our mind first, and then it moves into our life, our heart and our life through practice, which means it enters here and it comes into our life and it comes out through practice, through behavior, through attitudes. And that process of it coming in and then moving out, that process is God's word is heating up. His spirit is using that word, heating up, applying pressure, and shaping you. And it happens again. He uses His word again the next day to heat up your life, apply pressure, and shape you. And this happens over and over and over again. And that's how, in our physical world, coal becomes a diamond. I find it so interesting that lumps of coal, which is simply decayed matter from thousands of years ago, it dies, something living dies, and it becomes just decayed matter. It becomes coal. And something that is just dead, decayed matter, coal, becomes something as beautiful and as strong and enduring as diamonds. Just like God, our creator of all things, has a plan to make something amazing out of your life. No matter, like mine, how messed up your life might be, if we submit to Him, He can start and begin some transformation to shape you and to transform your life. I can't tell you how many second chances I've had in this life. And I can't tell you how many maybe you have had or how many you may begin today with your first second chance. I don't know. But I want you to know this. No matter how messed up your life is at this very moment, He is never going to throw you away. He has a plan for you. He has a second chance for you right now. Even if we have ruined our lives, And even if someone else has done something to us and we feel like our lives are ruined, He is not going to toss you to the side. He's not going to throw you into the scrap pile. In fact, someone else may have thrown you into the scrap pile, but God, through His Spirit, is going to reach into that pile of mess and that pile of trash, and He's going to redeem you and take you out and pull you out. He's going to buy you back, and He's going to forgive you. And He's going to offer you a second chance. And I want you to know that He then is going to use, this happens every single time, not sometimes. That's why we're begging you to get into God's Word every single time. This is how God works. He's going to use His words and begin to set your new shape for your life. And in doing so, He is making us more and more and more like Him. In fact, one day, you are going to be so much like Jesus that Jesus can say this next. He says, "You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." Now, I want you to know, this is not a magic trick. This is not something that you say, "Ah, God, I caught you. There's the verse and promise I've been looking for. Whatever I ask, whatever I want will be granted." If that's what you think, you have really misunderstood everything that comes before this. This is what Jesus is saying. When God's Word is remaining in your life and He has so transformed us into the fruit of the Spirit, then what we ask for will be so in line with the will and the mind and the desires of God that, of course, He will grant what we ask, because what we're asking is the same thing Jesus is asking. That is the transforming power of God's Word in our lives. And Jesus says that's the end result. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I have not reached that point. I'm not sure I personally know anyone who has. But Jesus says that's the end result. That's where He's taking us. That's where He's leading us. Verse 8, "When you produce much fruit, you're My true disciples. And this brings great glory to My Father." You see, a lump of coal is lifeless. It's actually dead, decayed material in another form. And this lump of lifeless coal has no choice about whether we're going to take this coal and put it into a fire and use it for heat or energy. It has no choice. Or whether this lump of coal is going to stay there and over the course of time with heat and pressure going to become a diamond. That lump of coal has no choice. But I want you to know this today, right now, you have a choice in God's transforming power in your life. We have a part to play, which is why we beg you to play this part. You have a turn our life. If that's going to be you, you have to make a choice. We can burn our lives up with screen time, a constant input of whatever the algorithm chooses next to place into our life and in our mind. Or we can allow God to choose to transform us with His Word. Thankfully, God shows us how. He shows us how to make this choice, how to choose life instead of our lives just being consumed. his molding and his finishing while we're in that process, it doesn't just seem painful, it can be painful at times. But it shows us his love for us. And we have a choice to make to stay in the process. And this is what this series is all about. We began by trying to teach you how to stay in the process through daily prayer. And then we talked about how to stay in the process through daily studying God's Word. Not just merely reading through the Bible a year at a time. No. To slow down and to take 4 to 8 verses, about one paragraph a day, and to let that one paragraph sink into our lives. And this morning we're talking about staying in the process, still with God's Word, but it's called meditation. So now, instead of 4 to 8 verses, yes, we still want you to do that, but now we want you to select one verse over the course of a week or 2 weeks or a month, one single verse, and you focus intently on that one single verse. And God is going to use that verse over the course of a week or 2 weeks or a month to shape you, to change you, to mold you to be more and more and more like Jesus. Let me give you an example of one of those verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." That's what happens when you take His Word and place it in your life. His Spirit joins you, and He does all that. He renews you. He helps you know your Creator more and more and more, and He helps you become like Him. So here's, this is the most practical series perhaps we've ever taught. Every week we're giving you, adding pages to this journal. We're encouraging you to start. And there's a few ways to do it. You can take these pages. We have provided master copies that are 2 up on both sides. You can take these, you can take one of these, and you can go photocopy these at home on your personal printer, and you can create your own notebook out of all of these loose pages. Just save some as master copies, and you'll have a supply for the rest of your life. Or you can go to powerpackonline.com, and I created that website for you, and there's other versions of these same pages on there, and you can just print them from there and create your own journal. Or you can just take the topics that we have and the prompts that we have for each of the prayer time and the Bible study time, and today the meditation time, and you can simply use those prompts, and you can take a blank journal. Nothing's written in it, and you can just go through that, and you can use these as prompts and just write it in yourself. And if you're the kind that wants a book, a paper journal book that has it all in there, you can go to Amazon.com, and you can get one off of there. Just search for my name, and you'll find one of the books under Power Pack, and it's all right there. We just want to make it available. And all of these other versions are free. That's the only one that's any money tied to, and the money related to that goes to Amazon to pay for printing the book. But all these others are free, and you can just create your own. And we're begging you, please begin this process of allowing God's Spirit to transform your life, because I promise you this, it is not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen as you remain in Him and His words remain in you. So today, the journal page that we're going to hand you as you leave today is this, and it's called Setting Your Mind on the Things Above. And if you wonder where we got that phrase, we got it from Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. if then you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep in our mind, let it go into our heart, and allowing God's Spirit to do something with that verse. And our role is to get that verse into our life. And then we simply meditate on that verse. We're not asking you to do any weird meditation where you empty your mind. No, no, no. We're asking you to fill your mind with His words, setting your mind on the things above. So we're going to teach you how to do that this morning very quickly. We're not going to be stopping to actually fill it in today, because there are some similarities between this and what I taught you 2 weeks ago, and you'll see that. So how do you keep His words in you? And the first thing we're going to say is, the first thing to do is to memorize some of them. You know, John, who wrote this gospel and recorded his biography of Jesus, John and the other disciples, by the time they were young men, they had most large portions, at least, of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures memorized. We can do it. We're just asking you to memorize one verse. I'm going to take away. We can do it to memorize it. But let's just say, I'm going to take away all the excuses today. Let's just say, you say, okay, Harley, I can't memorize. First is, I really don't believe that. If you can memorize your way home and how you drive home, you can memorize a verse. But let's just say for some reason that you're struggling. Then here's what I'm going to say. You can still fill your life with His words. And here's what I would suggest. Take some sticky notes, and whatever verse that you choose, then you write that verse down on a bunch of sticky notes. And you put one in your car, and you put one on your bathroom mirror, and you put one on inside your phone case. So every time you open your phone case, you put one at your computer station, you put one at your workstation, you put one everywhere you go, put that verse. So you keep that verse in front of you, and every time you see it, stop and read that verse and let it get into your mind. I would encourage you to memorize the verse, but at the very least, saturate your life with that verse. And you might say, well, Harley, how do I pick a verse? Well, that's up to you. But here's how I pick my verses. As I'm going through my daily reading, a paragraph at a time, working my way through an entire book of Scripture, which is what we're going to do with James, by the way, September and October. As I read through that paragraph, and over the course of a week or 2 weeks, a verse will stand out and I will say, whoa, that verse I need in my life. And I'll write it down and I create a running list of these are verses that I need to meditate on. And that's where I get my verses. They come from my daily time I spend reading through God's word, one book at a time, a paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. Then I all the way through that book one day at a time. The very first thing we do. So, and I select one, and here's the very first thing we do. So let's just say that you were working your way through Colossians, and you came to Colossians 3, and you were at verse 10, and you said, wow, I need that verse in my life. So what you would do is you would take Colossians 3 and verse 10, and you would write it down word for word. And when we did the Bible study, we said, write down what you think it means. Not this time. This time you're going to write down exactly what it says word for word in the translation that you're reading from. And so you would write down Colossians 3:10. And it says literally, write down word for word. And then it says, and memorize it this week. But so you write it down. Colossians 3 verse 10, and you would write it down. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You would write it down word for word. And listen, the paperwork here says memorize it this week. So yeah, take a week to really learn it and saturate your life with that verse. Read it, keep reading it. Every time you see the sticky note, read it. If you have it memorized, just think about that verse. And then over the course of this week, or you may you may do one verse a week, and the next week you do another verse. Or you may do one verse for 2 weeks, or you may do one verse for a month. I don't care how many you do, but let's just say you only did one verse a month. Then I will have you know that God's Spirit has enough power to take 12 verses a year that you have meditated on and set your mind on, that He can grow fruit in your life with those verses, one a month. And maybe you go faster. Maybe it's one every other week. Maybe it's one a week. I don't care. But if it's at least one a month, and you memorize it, you learn it, you fill your life with it, you're setting your mind on the things above. You write it over the course of word for word. And then the next thing you do is you answer the next question over the course of the week or during that month. The next question says, what does God need to do in your life so you can live this verse? So in other words, what does God need to transform? What is this verse talking about that I'm not doing? What fruit is in there that I'm not living? What does He need to change in me to transform me? It's admitting to God, I am missing your standard here, or I'm not hitting it or nailing it the way you want me to, which means I've missed it. I need your help, God, to live this verse. And we write out, here's what I need. God, I need you to help me with this, and be specific. And then we're going to ask God to help you specifically to meet His standard in that verse. So over the course of the week, or over the course of 2 weeks, or over the course of the month, you're specifically asking God, God, help me live this verse today. And then the next thing says, use it as a tool. So what do we need a tool for out of this verse? God's Spirit wants to hand you this tool to help you stay the course of this transformation. It's a tool for Him to change, a weapon. And the next thing it says, use it as a tool and a weapon. Use it as a weapon. Why do we need a weapon? God's Spirit wants to hand you a weapon. The only weapon He hands you, by the way, He wants to hand you a weapon, the weapon of God's Word, to defeat temptation in your life, to defeat temptation and evil. That's what it is. It's a tool to help you stay the course of transformation, and it is a weapon to help you beat and defeat temptation. That is what happens when you set your mind on the things above, when you meditate on Scripture, when you take His words and you allow them one verse at a time to remain in you. And again, maybe you do a verse a week. Maybe you do a verse a month. I don't care which you choose. I'm just begging you to just do it. His words in you, remaining in you, it is His primary tool for Him, His Spirit, to transform your life. Why wouldn't we do it? The only reason I can think of why we would not do this, to allow His words to remain in us, would be because the evil one has something else remaining in our mind and then being lived out with our lives. There is, in fact, only one reason, and that's it. My prayer is that you will allow His words to remain in you. This is what you do. This is your choice. This is what you are called to do. so that God's Spirit can come and use those words to turn up the heat and appropriately turn up the pressure at the right times and the right ways for the right length in order to soften your heart and to shape you in your life and mold you, to make you, to transform you. And it is producing His fruit. And that's how He does it. And my prayer is that you will do that. I want to pray for us. And then we're simply going to sing two songs. I think it's two. Allowing our hearts to have a conversation with God about Him transforming us and molding us and making us and giving us soft hearts that desire to submit to Him more and more and to worship Him more and more. Let's pray. God, I do pray that You would help us to put on this new nature, that we would learn to know You, God, our Creator, more and more and more. That we would have a desire to know You more and more and more. And God, the more we know You, the more we take Your words and place them in our lives, and we think about them and meditate on them, and we look at our lives and compare our lives to Your words, Your Spirit moves in and transforms us in ways we can never change ourselves. And in that transformation, we are not becoming more and more like our old selves. We're becoming more and more and more like You, our Creator, like You, our Savior. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask that there would be many today who are committing to know You more and to have Your words remain in them. In the name of Jesus, make it so.